The Appenheimers recently celebrated a wedding, and Melinda and Stuart and Anne flew to Lethbridge for Lizzie's wedding. And I don't know if the wedding went exactly the way that Lizzie had always anticipated her wedding might be, but my guess is that there were some restrictions that COVID brought on that celebration that wouldn't have been what they had hoped for or believed for or desired if it had been up to them. There was a loss, and we have lost the robustness of our celebrations. Even in times of grief and funerals, those important moments of what it's that when we're actually with a loved one in the last days of their life and celebrating them in such an honorable way after their passing, those are important moments of closure. Those are important moments of honor, and we have lost these things. And even if our lives personally haven't been touched in these ways, we as our little Via Langley community have had some very real losses. We've lost moments of being together in corporate worship, and that means a great deal to us. We've lost moments of celebrating the Eucharist together, where we could kneel before the altar and have wave after wave of the Holy Spirit break upon us as we received the bread and the wine and cluster together, praying for one another, praying for our children as they run between our legs. We've lost these moments, and they will come again, but those are real losses. We've lost the ability to even plan and structure our lives in the way that we're used to. We've lost our moments of feasting together, and we've all lost a sense of emotional resiliency and strength that I think we at one time took for granted. Well, that seems like a lot of loss. But the promise is that is before us, that beautiful promise that the Lord has given us in this verse from John 15, verse 2. Is that those that he prunes, he does it so that, and I love that part, there's a so that they would bear more fruit. And so it's not just a devastation and it's done, but it is unto more fruit. Pruning is for the purpose of greater fruit, healthier and more abundant fruit, sweeter fruit. Fruit that reminds people of Jesus when they taste it. Fruit that causes others to hunger for him. And so no matter how severe or traumatizing our losses have been, there is this wonderful promise and hope before us. But before we lock onto the promise, and before we start charging toward it, I feel it's really important that we take a moment and we pause to grieve, to, in a sense, take stock of what it's actually cost us over this last year. And I'm not saying that really the pruning is over. I think there are probably some more days ahead where we won't be able to gather together in the way that we would love to. But we can't afford to treat what we have lost in a dismissive way. We can't fail to grieve and just stoically soldier on. We have to give honor to that which we have lost. And in the same way that we have over this last year, many of us have pressed into this idea of recapturing the discipline of Sabbath, learning to, as Chad taught us over the last couple of weeks, the idea of letting the fields lay fallow, as we have had to do that and be really in a place of trusting God that this was a good thing and that this was a wise thing to do, that as we've had to learn that, we also need to learn the practice of biblical grieving. This is what Jesus did at Lazarus' graveside. John chapter 11, he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that he was going to demonstrate that he is the resurrection and the life. That was always the plan. That was why he delayed, because he was going to show this beautiful side, reveal this beautiful side of his power, of his glory. But even still, as he came to the grave, he paused and he leaned into grief and he wept. And he wept for all of those that won't rise from the dead. And he wept for the grief that was all around him, the grief of those that didn't believe and that saw death as final. He wept. And there was a pause. And I believe we need to pause and honor our losses. We won't stay in that place of grief or let our losses sour into self-pity. No, the Lord calls us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with him. Not skirt it, not run through it, but not camp in it. We don't park there. We pass through. And that's where he's taking us. He is the same Father who prunes, who honors our losses. Psalm 56, verse 8 says that he collects our tears in a bottle. Of course, this is poetic language, but what a beautiful illustration. Every tear that we weep in a place of grief, he collects them. He treasures them. He preserves them. Psalm 116, verses 15 says that precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. Now, of course, this is talking about actual death, but it can also include things that we have had to die to. And we have had to die to some things over this last year. Jesus in the Sermon of the Mount speaks about the sparrows who fall from the sky, from the trees, and how the Father notices these things. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without the Father noticing. And we are of much more value than sparrows. So we need to take a moment to pause and grieve. In your life, that might be a short time. It might be a longer time. Everybody processes grief differently. But let's not run through this moment. Let's honor those losses well. But if when we do, let's shift our eyes and our gaze to the promise that is before us. I was walking again at the beginning of this year, as I did at the beginning of 2020, and I began to see, as I prayed, in my spirit, these same branches that were pruned, that were just had these kind of stump areas in them, and new shoots springing out from these branches. See, that's what God does. When he prunes, it's so that there will be more fruit. And it will be much better, beautiful, glorious fruit. There is a shifting of a spiritual season. Chad talked to us about the idea of letting the fields lay fallow, but now there is a new call to prepare them for planting, to get the fields, those fallow fields ready, to perk up, to shift into a place where we're beginning to engage with the promise again. And in my prayer times, this is what I'm seeing, these sprouting branches coming off, and they're going to be full of fruit. But I want to propose to you two questions tonight. First of all, what kind of fruit should we expect? What kind of fruit should we look for? I wonder what kind of fruit we should pray for, that would sprout up from these branches that have been pruned in this severe way. And the second question is, what is of such great value to the Father that he would allow the severity of 2020? I think that's a really important question. And because you're not here and you can't shout out the answers, I'm going to answer them for you. I want to propose that there are four things that really matter to God that he has allowed us to walk through this time of loss in order to create and to nurture and to birth in our lives. The first is humility. When you consider humility biblically, it's clear that it is the root virtue that opens the door for the working of God in our lives. The Lord loves the humble. And if you've been listening to Bishop Todd lately and some of the preaches he's been doing in Lethbridge, you can hear that he's been really focusing in on this idea of humility. For God opposes the proud. He resists them. And nobody wants the Father to resist them. Nobody wants God to resist them. He resists the proud, but he is attracted to the poor in spirit. Humility is an essential quality for prayer, for ministry of every kind, for evangelism, for church planting, for leadership. Humility is a requirement to carry the glory of God. Because he's not going to trust us with his glory if it's going to go to our head. If you've not walked through seasons of humility, then I would just encourage you to allow that virtue to be strengthened in your life. Because as a community, we're believing that God wants to do some amazing things with us and through us to minister to Willoughby and Langley and beyond. And we want to be humble enough to be entrusted with God's presence, his spirit, and his glory. Humility is a gift that we can receive through this last season. The second fruit that I would propose to you that the Lord is offering to birth and grow in our lives, if we will receive it, is the fear of the Lord. It's closely related to humility, but it's slightly different. And I believe that the fear of the Lord is really we know it's the reverence of God, it's not being afraid of him, but it is like a recognition that he is God and all that means, his majesty, his beauty, his supremacy, his holiness, and we are not, and he is with us. And I don't know about you, but that puts the fear of God in me. It makes me want to revere him, to honor him, to never do anything that would bring dishonor to his name. So no matter how beautifully intimate we grow in our relationship with him, we still want to tremble at his word. As Isaiah 66 verse 2 says, "This is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and who trembles at my word." You can really see that the events of the last year have revealed how small and how unable to control the wind and the waves we are. It's really been Jesus' bigness and his strength that has carried us through this season. It's not been our personal power. We have had to be so dependent upon him. And so now we are in this opportunity to see a new humility-based fear of the Lord grow in our lives. A reverence for his word, trembling at his word, but also for his table, for his presence, for his body, and more, revering the Lord. The third piece of fruit that I feel like the Lord wants to develop in us and birth in us through this season as we come out of the pruning time into a time of growth is compassion. Most of us have suffered or struggled with personal weakness that makes us now more accessible and empathetic towards those that have been in the same place of brokenness. I listed for you some of the ways that our society has endured losses. And we are going to be bumping into people all over the places whose lives have actually been shattered through this time of COVID. Could we draw near to Jesus in this hour and receive his compassion for the lost, his compassion for the broken, be tenderized in our hearts so that we become empathetic, we become available, vulnerable, those that can relate to the really deep places of wounding and brokenness that are all around us. Two particular places that I think this is applicable. One is the issue of mission that I've just mentioned. Those that don't know Christ. Those that haven't had a hope to hang on to, a faith to steady them, his presence in their lives, if they've walked through places of depression and despair and confusion and profound anxiety. Could we be tenderized towards mission? But secondly, could we be tenderized towards those that need healing? And we talked earlier about the group that's going to be gathering to process some new ideas about mental illness and walk through that training and that journey, and that's fantastic. But there are so many different areas of healing that we want to see released in this hour. And when we have a softened, tender heart and can relate with compassion to those that need healing, it becomes a beautiful thing that Jesus can use. Physical, emotional, mental, relational, financial, spiritual. Let the healing of God flow through our lives and flow through our community. I told you there were four fruits that I wanted to highlight to you tonight, and I've come to number four, but I actually lied. I have five on my list, so I hope you'll bear with me as we go through two more. I didn't write numbers beside them, so that was my bad. The fourth one is unity. And it's no secret that we live in times of extreme division. Unlike I've ever seen in my life, and I might be, you know, one of the elders in this community. I think Mike and I, we're probably, maybe Stuart and Anne are kind of in that same age group, but never seen this kind of extreme division. The outrage, the opinions, the insult, and the pressure of COVID seems to have made everybody more prickly. Quick to react, quick to flare up. Well, we can be caught in this same current, or we can pursue the fruit that God wants to bring from the humility, from the compassion, from the fear of the Lord, the fruit of unity, a radical supernatural unity that Jesus prayed for us to embody. I loved that we prayed for North Langley Church tonight. This is a Mennonite church that's really blessed me, and it's blessed us. They've been a really beautiful friend in the Langley area, and I love that we're beginning this practice of praying for churches in our region. Let's embody this. This is the unity that causes the world to know that Jesus is in our midst. These are his words from John 17. He's praying before the Father, before he goes to the cross, and this is his prayer, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Oh, Lord, let it be. The fifth fruit. Through this time of pruning and now coming into a new place of life breaking out and hope, promise, I believe that a gift that the Lord can bring to us is a new sense of faith, a new strength in our faith. You see, this year of pruning has tested us, and we have had to rely on Jesus more than ever. Some of you will remember the message that Alec brought in December when he spoke from Psalm 126, and he talked about the miraculous ways that God has moved in our community and done things that seemed so unlikely, where we would expect the opposite. God has brought these supernatural blessings to us. And these are the things, these stories, these testimonies build our faith. This is our story together. God has carried us through a time of pruning, and we've had to rely on Jesus. And he has proven faithful. We didn't know his faithfulness in this way at the beginning of 2020. The way that we know his faithfulness is deeper and stronger. There has been a gaining of gold tested, the tested faith, the precious tested faith. We have gained that over the course of this year. And we can now apply this faith to believe for abundant fruit in the days ahead. The goodness of God in this glorious place that he's taking us to. Now, this whole narrative, this idea of pruning and loss and grief, and then hope bursting forth, these new buds that sprout into life, that might be a familiar narrative to you. It has an echo to it, doesn't it? It's the path of the cross and the resurrection. It's the path of the loss and the confusion of Good Friday, where everything seemed hopeless and all the expectations were shattered. It's the grief and the disorientation of Holy Saturday. And it's the new life that is raised incorruptible and full of glory on Resurrection Sunday. This is the path of Jesus. It's the path that he walked and the path that he leads us in. And it leads us to union. The big theme of John 15. It leads us to union. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Union of becoming more like him. Union of abiding in him in deeper intimacy. And union of seeing his life burst forth in ours. So church, I want to encourage you to have faith for the good things that God has ahead of us, but also to receive and nurture those elements of faith, compassion, the fear of the Lord, humility, these things that the Lord wants to strengthen and grow in our midst for the glory of his name. Amen.